దృష్టిని స్థాపితం చేసుకుంటే స్వయం రూపకాలా తీసుకోవడానికి శ్రీరూపం సాధజాతం సహకరణాజీవం సాద్వైతం సాధరూపం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాం సహకరణలితా
కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామనే గౌరత్వశే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధౌ దీనబంధౌ జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో ది ఇంట్రొడక్షన్ టు భగవద్గీత ఈజ్ వెరీ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ బికాస్ ఇట్ గివ్స్ అస్ ద బేసిక్ ఫౌండేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఫిలాసఫీ ఫర్ అవర్ హోల్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్ కెరియర్ ఫర్ ఇటర్నిటీ. Therefore, we are going very slow actually, and we are covering hardly a page and a half or maybe less in a day. It's well worth the time spent because it is an opportunity for us to become very clear about our fundamental concepts. And yesterday also we have been discussing some of these fundamental ideas. So let us spend some time today revising what we discussed yesterday. So one by one of different devotees can point out some of the main points that were discussed yesterday. One, different devotees can take turns one by one. Each devotee can speak one point that's important from yesterday's discussion. Yes? Religion is different from Sanatan Dharma. How? Sanatan Dharma is eternal, and religion is a type of faith which can change. All right. Any other point? Yes? What is a bodily concept? Religion. Religion, yes. Ordinarily understood religion is
a bodily concept, whereas Sanatan Dharma is an soul.
Yes, ordinary religion is based on the bodily concept of life. It's connected to the body. Whereas Sanatan Dharma is connected to the soul. Therefore, religion, as is ordinarily understood, is temporary, and Sanatan Dharma is eternal. Any other concepts and ideas that we heard yesterday? Yes.
Defines dharma as the inherent nature of the object.
Dharma has been defined as the inherent nature of an object, or that which constantly exists with an object, right? What else did we hear?
In its natural condition.
What? Complete the sentence.
Dharma, that is the inherent characteristic of that thing in its natural condition.
Dharma is the inherent character or quality of an object in its natural condition? No. Even in the unnatural condition, that is still, it still remains with the object. It's only suppressed. It is not manifest. Right? So please let us discuss this one point so we are clear. Now, it was said that dharma is, how did you define dharma? The inherent nature of an object. And Prabhu here pointed out some words to add. He said it is the inherent nature of an object in its natural condition. Are these additional three words valid in the definition or not? Why? Yes or no? Why? Yes. In other words, the dharma never of an object never changes in the sense that in the natural condition it manifests in its natural state as it is. In the unnatural state, it just remains latent. It doesn't get erased. It is not extinguished. It is not destroyed. It remains. However, what makes the difference? When there is a natural atmosphere, what happens? And when there is an unnatural atmosphere, what happens? Somebody? Yes. No, in the natural atmosphere, the dharma of that object is automatically and naturally manifest. But in the unnatural atmosphere, it is covered. It is covered, that's all. Right? So dharma of an object is its inherent nature, is something that constantly exists with an object, is something that cannot be separated from that object, whether in the natural or the unnatural condition. The only difference that the condition or the atmosphere makes is that natural quality which is called dharma either is manifest for everyone's vision or it is suppressed or covered over. That's all. Give some examples of this, please. Yes. Now that is for dharma, yes. But about the atmosphere. Somebody else who has not answered so far. Yes. Liquidity of water, all right. Yes, the liquidity of water is its dharma, and in the natural condition, liquidity is easily manifest for everyone to see. But in an unnatural condition, when the temperature goes below freezing point, below 0 degrees centigrade, then that water becomes ice and its flowing quality, its liquidity is no longer manifest. Does it mean that water in the form of ice no longer has liquidity or the property of flowing? It has, but it is latent, it is suppressed. Does it get destroyed? Is the property of liquidity of water when it is in the ice form, is that property destroyed? No. If it was destroyed, when you applied heat to the ice, then the ice should not have got converted to water and started flowing. The fact that when you heat the ice, it becomes water and starts flowing again means that the property of liquidity, which is the dharma of water, is not destroyed even when it is in the form of ice. It is just suppressed. It is covered over. It remains latent. And when that artificial condition is removed, the natural atmosphere is once again brought in, then that dharma, the natural inherent nature, once again becomes easily manifest. Right? Any other points that were discussed yesterday? Yes, Mataji. Yes. The swaroop or the constitutional position of every living being is to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is what kind of dharma? Sanatana dharma. Why is it Sanatana Dharma? Because it is eternal. Because that's that inherent nature of the jiva to serve Krishna is eternal. What else did we discuss? Somebody? Some other important point we discussed yesterday. Yes. So serving anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not Sanatan Dharma, because that object of service or worship is himself or herself, not eternal. Right? Something can be eternal if both parties, some worship can be eternal if both parties are eternal. Isn't it? If either the worshipper is not eternal, or if the worshipped is not eternal, then that worship cannot be eternal. So if we are worshipping some entities on our bodily platform, and we are worshipping their bodies, so both of us are on the bodily platform, so both of us are temporary, there is no question of Sanatan Dharma. But if my service to someone is based on the platform of the soul, then that object of worship is also eternal. It is Krishna, so the relationship is eternal. What else did we discuss? Yes. Yes, Brahma and Shiva, they are in touch, so to speak, with the modes of nature. Brahma with the mode of passion, Shiva with the mode of ignorance, whereas Vishnu, although he also oversees one of the modes of nature like the other two, but he is different from the other two because he is aloof, he is transcendental, he is not in touch with the mode of goodness. Yes, any other point? I didn't hear you. For others, apart from Sanatan Dharma, there is a point in time when it began. But that is not so about Sanatan Dharma. Can you give some examples? Anyone else? Different devotees, please. Some of the Mataji's side also. Somebody can give some answers. Or anyone here. Give some examples of those dharmas of worship which had a beginning in time. Sikh Dharma, Christianity, and so on. These were some of the examples discussed yesterday. But what about Sanatan Dharma?
It has no end and no
beginning. No beginning and no end. How does Ramanujacharya define Sanatan? The word Sanatan.
That which has no end.
That which has no beginning and no end. In other words, eternal. What else did we discuss yesterday? Yes. Yes. To serve is the nature of every living entity. Every living entity is serving something or someone all the time. So that is the dharma of the living entity, to serve. So then what is the difference between this dharma and Sanatan Dharma? Yes. Yes. So, when our tendency to serve is directed towards anything other than Krishna, it is dharma, but it is not Sanatan Dharma. Only when the serving propensity is directed to Krishna, then it is Sanatan Dharma. Right? Alright. So now, we'll continue reading further. But before we go ahead, it may be nice perhaps some thoughts come to mind about what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said on this topic. He calls the Sanatan Dharma as Jaiva Dharma. He has a very famous book called Jaiva Dharma. And why does he call the Sanatan Dharma as Jaiva Dharma? What do you think? Because it pertains to the jiva. That which pertains to the jiva or the soul is jaiva. Right? So jaiva dharma means the dharma of the soul, not of the body. So the dharma of the soul is to serve Krishna. So this Sanatana dharma is also called jaiva dharma, and sometimes it is also called nitya dharma. Nitya means eternal. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses some nice terminologies. He says that any object is called vastu in Sanskrit or even in Hindi, because the root of this word vastu is vas. Vas dhatu. The root, the verbal root of vastu is vas. And vas means to exist. So any object which has some existence is called vastu. So any object that has an existence, by Krishna's grace, it always has some property. Can you think of any object that doesn't have a property? No. Anything that exists must have some property. That property which is natural to that vastu is called svabhava. Or you could say the dharma. Svabhava is the intrinsic nature of that object. And that svabhav is manifest in its natural condition. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually, interestingly, gives exactly the same example of the water and the ice. Very coincidental, exactly the same point he makes. And he says that when the water is converted into an artificial condition, as a solid, as ice, then it apparently seems to lose its svabhava, but actually it is not so. The artificial condition, when it persists for a long time, it seems to become the natural property of that object. So for example, in the North Pole or the South Pole, the glaciers have been existing there for such a long time that for the Eskimos it must seem that the ice, that is a natural form, right? But actually it is not. That artificial condition is called by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Nisarga. But when the natural condition is revived, then automatically the svabhava becomes easily manifest again. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the jaiva dharma or the nitya dharma or the eternal svabhava or the eternal nature of the soul is to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. However, there is a nisarga. What is that artificial condition? The three modes of material nature. Maya. So when Maya overwhelms the soul, then what happens? Then that svabhav, that fundamental nature of serving Krishna gets eclipsed for a while. And it seems after many, many lifetimes of the jiva being here in the material creation, that this bodily consciousness is the natural condition of life. Right? So yesterday we were talking about how for a conditioned soul, sense gratification is natural. Isn't it? It appears natural. That's why it's called nisarga. It gives a semblance of reality. But actually it's not. So it is vastu, but it is not really true. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the very second verse, right? What's the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Dharma prochita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vastavam vedyam astu vastu shivadam trapatrayona mulanam vedyam vastavam atra vastu. So that which is really real, this vastu that is being spoken about in the Bhagavatam is vastavam vastu. It's really real. Whereas in this material world, the conceptions are avastavam vastu. It's not really real. It appears real only. So to say that sense gratification is natural is not really real. It appears real, it appears natural. But that's because we are already in an unnatural state now. So that which is unnatural appears to be natural. So therefore Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, there are three kinds of dharmas. One kind of dharma is the Nitya Dharma, the Jaiva Dharma, the Sanatana Dharma. That's the natural dharma of the soul. The second kind of dharma is called Anitya Dharma. Anitya Dharma is that dharma that denies the existence of God, that denies the existence of the soul. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of Buddhism. And he says Buddhism is an atheistic dharma. It doesn't believe in the existence of God. And there is just a hint about the principle of the soul. So even there is not perfect understanding about the soul. Because they say that at the point of liberation, nothing exists thereafter. Even the soul doesn't exist. Nothing. Everything is void. Everything is shunya. Everything is illusion. So this is an example of an anitya dharma. And then there is a third category which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, which is called naimittika dharma. That which exists under certain conditions called nimitta. Like under low temperature the water becomes ice. So solidity is a naimittika dharma of water, which is exhibited under certain conditions only, which are not natural. But in the natural conditions you have the nitya dharma of water, which is to flow, liquidity. So also for the jiva, in the pure condition of the spiritual world, that's the sanatan dharma or the nitya dharma, which is to love Krishna. But the naimittika dharma of the jiva is found in the material world. All dharmas that are not pure devotional service and which pertain in some respect to obtaining God, they are called naimittika dharmas. For example, the whole varnashrama dharma itself is a naimittika dharma, because we are classified according to four varnas and four ashramas. But that's not a constitutional position of the jiva. Similarly, the path of yoga, ashtanga yoga, the path of sankhya yoga, the path of jnana yoga, austerities, the path of austerities and renunciation, all these things, this is naimittika dharma, which is performed under the nimitta at certain conditions on the bodily concept of life. It's not that these are not important, but if we consider these to be the all in all and neglect the nitya dharma, then we will not make advancement. So even in our Krishna conscious philosophy, while we focus on nitya dharma, hearing and chanting of the holy names, we also accept some principles of secondary dharma or naimittika dharma, which assist us to perform the duties of nitya dharma or sanatan dharma. Can you give an example? Taking sannyas. Yes? It's a naimittika dharma. What else? Taking sannyas is not a sanatan dharma, an act of sanatan dharma. Right? Because in the spiritual world, what is there to renounce? In the material world, we are renouncing that which is material, that's sannyas. But in the spiritual world, do you find sannyasis there? Yes, what else? The system of worship, no, the principle of worship remains even in the spiritual world. The essential principle remains. Some details may change, yes, which are pertaining to this body. What do you think about four regulative principles? Is that naimittika dharma or is that sanatan dharma? How many devotees feel that following four regulative principles is sanatan dharma? Please raise your hand. No? So are we not following Sanatana Dharma? Or following four regulative principles? Yes, you accept that is Sanatana Dharma? Okay. So how, that means the rest of everybody else, everyone believes that the four regulative principles are Naimittika Dharma. Why? Doesn't help it because it helps us to advance in devotional service. All right, what else? Yes. Yes, they don't exist in the spiritual world. Have you heard of anybody violating the four regulative principles in Goloka Vrindavan? There's no question, the concept doesn't exist there. The concept exists only here. So, abstention from sinful activity, performance of certain kinds of pious activities that bring about an increased propensity for the Sanatana Dharma, it's all part of the Naimittika Dharma. So following four regulative principles is important because it keeps us pure. And only when we are pure, we can do our Sanatana Dharma properly. We can do our Krishna Bhakti properly. If we are not following the four regulative principles, then we are infecting our mind with material contamination. Then we cannot perform Krishna conscious activities properly. Chanting the holy name, is it Sanatana Dharma or Naimittika Dharma? Chanting the holy name 16 rounds is not included in the four regulative principles? How is that? What are the four regulative principles? No meat eating. One time one devotee at one initiation was asked, what are the four regulative principles? He said, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. And then he had to be told, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. He became so nervous that he forgot the yes and the no. So chanting 16 rounds, chanting the holy name is certainly not Naimittika Dharma. If it is done with the proper understanding. There are those that may also chant the Maha Mantra, but they don't do it with this understanding. Like the Mayavadis also chant. But for them the chanting is not Sanatana Dharma. Because they're doing it with the wrong conception. For them the holy name is just a stepping stone to something else. What? Do all the regulations of devotional service come under Naimittika Dharma? It depends. As I said, some come under Naimittika Dharma, some come under Sanatana Dharma. Depending on the regulation itself. Okay, name the regulative principles, some of them, that you can clearly say come under Sanatana Dharma. One is already said, chanting the holy name of the Lord. What else? To have darshan of the Lord, yes. In the spirit of bhakti, that is. Serving the Lord, yes. Hearing the pastimes of the Lord, hearing the scriptures, I mean the devotional scriptures, that is, yes. Cleaning the temple. Any form of devotional service, any service that is done to Krishna with love and devotion is a part of Sanatana Dharma. Is there cleaning that goes on in the spiritual world? How many say yes? Why? Isn't everything so clean in the spiritual world? Nothing ever gets dirty. Why is there cleaning? Yes, they're showing their spirit. Although there's no need really to clean, but still everybody is busy cleaning. So any form of direct service to the Supreme Lord done in a spirit of pure devotional service is Sanatana Dharma. What about preaching? Yes, what do you say? One devotee is saying it's only in the material world. So therefore you say it is Naimittika Dharma? What is preaching? Let's talk about it simply. Preaching means what? Speaking about Krishna. So is that Naimittika Dharma? It's Sanatana Dharma. It's definitely an activity of our eternal principle. Machitta madgata prana bodhayantah parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna has described or defined his devotees as those who are constantly talking about him. So it's an eternal activity that pertains to the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, everyone is talking about Krishna. So it's certainly not Naimittika Dharma. It is Sanatana Dharma. What else? Worshipping Tulasi Devi, Naimittika or Sanatana? Sanatana. Why? Because Tulasi Devi is there in the spiritual world. She is there. She has manifested very kindly here. Vrinda Devi from Goloka has manifested as Tulasi Devi here in the material world to receive our service and also to be offered in service to the lotus feet of Krishna. So it is not Naimittika. But those who worship in the principle, in the mood of Karma Kanda, for them it is Naimittika. So we must remember, the same activity can become Naimittika or Sanatana according to the conception and the mood of the worshipper. Just like chanting the holy name, worshipping Tulasi, all this can become Naimittika because the goal of the worshipper is different. One who worships Tulasi Devi as a part of the Karma Kanda process wants to be elevated to Swarga Loka. So that is Naimittika. It is temporary dharma. Whereas the devotee worships Tulasi and uses Tulasi in the worship of Krishna as an eternal principle of spiritual life. So these are therefore some of the distinctions. What about Sakam Bhakti? What about performing devotional service with a fruitive mentality? Yes, any opinions? Somebody says Naimittika, somebody says Sanatana. Yes? You see, it's also important, not just the purpose of why we worship, but also our conception is very important. What is the difference between a Karmakandi worshipping Krishna and a mixed devotee worshipping Krishna for some material desire? What is the difference between the two? Yes. Absolutely. The mixed devotee has a clear conception that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Obtaining pure love for Krishna is the goal of my life. But somehow or the other, in the process of my spiritual evolution, I am not completely perfect yet. I still have these material desires in my heart. And instead of going to the demigods, I am going to Krishna. So therefore, it is an activity of Sanatana Dharma, but not purely performed. Whereas, for the Karmakandi, what is the difference? He doesn't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sees Krishna as just any of the other demigods, Panchopasana, Surya and Shiva and Brahma, all others are Durga, Ganesh, right? So he considers them on an equal level and approaches them for different kinds of benefits that they are supposed to give. So his conception of the object of worship is different. Even though in this case both may be materially motivated to some extent, but still because the devotee is superior, because his conception is clear about the Supreme Lord. Therefore it is Sanatana Dharma, but not purely executed. Because the conception is clear, but the motivation is mixed. Because of not being properly advanced in spiritual life.
Believing
or?
Will we put it in the, yes, it is in the category of Sanatana, but as I said, with a qualification, not purely performed. Alright? However, now another question. Is a demigod worshipper superior to one, let us say, who worships in some other religious process in the world? Now we compare two worshippers. One is the worshipper of Krishna. Of course, a pure devotee of Krishna is another matter. But a worshipper of Krishna worshipping with the conception of Krishna as the supreme, but he has some material desire. And we compared him with the Karmakandi who also happens to worship Krishna among others. So we compared these two. Now we want to compare the Karmakandi with others who may be worshipping in other religious processes in the world. Who is better? Yes. Balram Avatar. The Karmakandi? Karmakandi is superior? That's one answer. Yes? Yes? Yes, actually one time somebody asked Prabhupada this question. And Prabhupada gave the same answer. He said, one who worships the demigods is superior because, at least, Prabhupada said, he is in the house of the Vedas. And one day he will come directly to Krishna. Because even though he is considering Krishna like everybody else, but at least he keeps chanting the name of Krishna. And he will come to the temple of Krishna, Prabhupada said, and he will offer obeisances to Krishna. And because he does this service unknowingly, he is accumulating Agyata Sukriti directly for Krishna. So one day he will actually come to devotional service. However, having said that, we should also note that ultimately Sanatana Dharma is not a matter of an external appearance or an external culture. Prabhupada many times said that real religion means love of God. And Prabhupada spoke very liberally at times also. He said that if anyone practicing any religious process all over the world attains to love of God, then that is the perfection of his religion. And he has perfected his life. In the Bhagavatam also the same thing is said. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. The highest dharma for humanity is that by which loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is awakened. This love should be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. This is the definition of pure devotional service. The highest dharma, para dharma. So the Bhagavatam recognizes that there are many dharmas. Because the tendency to serve is there, and according to one's conception, one may serve so many different things and people. But amongst all these different services, which is the highest? That process that brings about love of God. That is the highest. The only handicap that the worshippers in the other religious processes in the world have is that they do not have a clear conception of God to worship. The Christians, for example, they talk about the Father who art in heaven, but they don't know what that Father looks like. Similarly with the Muslims or the Sikhs or the other religious groups. So they may have some feeling like that, but there isn't enough information and guidance in their scriptures available to facilitate their developing love of God. Love can be had only in relation to a person. A person has a form. You have to know what the person looks like, what the person does. There are rare exceptions of spiritually evolved personalities, even in other religions. And these personalities went beyond what their scriptures could give them. and they exhibited some symptoms of love of God which bewildered their co-religionists. The others in their group could not understand what this person is saying and doing. For example, how many of you are from a Christian background here? How many from a Christian background? 1, 2, 3, 4 only. Okay. So you may know that in the Bible there is something about Solomon, isn't it? Book of Solomon. Now, this Solomon, he was something unique because his conception of God was so different, was so unique that others couldn't understand. Till today it remains a mystery. And there was a book published many years ago about all the wonders and mysteries of the world, and this was one of the mysteries, that they couldn't understand this mystery. And here Solomon talks about the curly locks of the beloved of the Lord and so on and so forth, and the others are wondering, what is he talking about? They don't understand. So it obviously means that this saintly person had come to some understanding of Godhead. He had some conception, but he was far beyond what his co-religionists could understand. So, but that is rare. However, in the Vedic system, we have every opportunity to understand the form of the Lord, to understand his activities and so on. So therefore, Prabhupada said that at least being connected to the house of the Vedas is better. At the same time, developing love of God is the ultimate goal of life. That is the one supreme religious process. That's the Sanatan Dharma. Whatever external process we may follow, the goal is the love of God. And that is a test of any religious process. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even amongst all the Sanatan Dharmas, Vaishnavism is supreme. It means that apart from the worship of Krishna as Krishna, there could be other Sanatan Dharmas as well, where people are worshipping one Supreme Lord and they want to develop love for him. But Vaishnavism is supreme because we have the clearest and the most detailed understanding of God and love of God. So this is the gift of Srila Prabhupada to the whole world. He has made available the highest Sanatan Dharma so easily to the whole world. To those living in the African jungles, to those living in the concrete jungles in America and Europe, to those living in any situation in the world, this is available now. So what a great fortune. So Krishna consciousness is the topmost religious process, the topmost spiritual process available in the whole of creation. It's already 6:30. And we haven't read a word today. But the idea was to discuss concepts and to become very thorough and clear about these things. After all, we are not studying these books just as a formality that somehow we have to finish the Gita. We have to finish reading. Right? That's not our goal. That somehow or other we just see that in X number of days we finish all the 18 chapters. And that's not really the goal. It can eternally go on in Krishna Balaram Mandir. Every evening the Bhagavad Gita classes can go on for eternity. But the important thing is that we have to gain something solid out of it. So let's recapitulate a bit about what I spoke after the initial session when I asked your feedback. So please give us some feedback now about what was discussed afterwards. Yes. Yes, Prabhu is commenting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he recognizes even the Nirvisheshvadis, the Mayavadis, because he says they at least recognize the living entity to be an eternal soul. So to that extent we recognize them, absolutely. And not only for that, we also recognize them for the principle of, shall we say, living a simple life, avoiding sense gratification, and so on. Their understanding of the Absolute Truth is limited to the impersonal. So their understanding is not completely wrong, but it is incomplete. Okay, so what else, what have we discussed today? Some points, please. Yes. Bhakti Vinod Thakur calls Sanatana Dharma as Jaiva Dharma. Why does he call it Jaiva Dharma? Because it's Dharma of the Jiva. Jiva means the soul. All right. Any other point that was discussed?
Find the vastu, what is actually that which exists is vastu, and this nature.
What is the nature?
This quality.
Svabhav. So we also discussed Bhakti Vinod Thakur's conception or definition. He said any object is called vastu, which is derived from the verbal root called vas, which means to exist. So any object that exists is called vastu, vastu. And every object has a property that is inherent in it or to it, and that is called its svabhav. So what else was discussed? Yes?
The property of water is changed into ice, like it solidifies when the temperature decreases. So the same way, the materialistic nature erupts when you do something, you do materialistic things in steam.
Yes, just like under artificial conditions water becomes ice, so also under artificial conditions the jiva seems to have lost his svabhav of serving Krishna. Yes, what else? Yes? Bhakti Vinod Thakur categorizes dharma into three. What are those three categories? Nitya dharma, which is Sanatana Dharma or Jaiva Dharma, which is the service to Lord Krishna, pure love of God. Then Anitya Dharma, which is godless religions, right? So called religions that don't accept the existence of God, like Buddhism, even Jainism also does not accept the existence of God. Alright, then Naimittika Dharma. Can you define the origin of the term Naimittika? It comes from what? From Nimitta. Nimitta means? Moment? Not exactly. The cause of something? Chosen? No. Nimitta? The cause of something, or let us say the immediate cause, not the ultimate cause. Krishna says to Arjuna, where does he use this word Nimitta? Nimitta matra bhava savya sachin. My dear Arjuna, just become my instrument. Become the cause of killing these Kauravas. By becoming the cause, Krishna means that he wants Arjuna to be the immediate cause. But who is the ultimate cause? Krishna. So Nimitta refers to an immediate cause. It's something that exists. There is something further that is beyond it. So the Naimittika Dharma is there when there is some immediate covering over. That is called Naimittika Dharma. So what are some examples of Naimittika Dharma? Yes? Varnashrama Dharma? Following of four regulative principles? Ashtanga Yoga? Sankhya Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Vairagya. Now, my question is, Tapasya, yes? Is Naimittika Dharma, since we are followers of Sanatana Dharma or Nitya Dharma, so is Naimittika Dharma useful for the Sanatana Dharmist or not? Yes. Who will say yes, Mati? The answer is yes, it's useful, but everything is useful? Everything of Naimittika Dharma is useful? If it's dovetailed, that means selectively. Not everything, but we select those items of Naimittika Dharma that can be dovetailed with Sanatana Dharma. Right? So we use certain principles from Naimittika Dharma that are useful for us for progress in Krishna consciousness. But other things, we don't worry so much. For example, we do accept certain principles of Varnashrama. But if you go into the details of what the Varnashrama system involves, it's impossible for us to follow now. So we just take some basic principles and follow those things. Yes, Mataji. So the comment Mataji is making is that Sanatana Dharma or Bhakti is independent, not dependent on any other process, even Naimittika Dharma. Absolutely correct. However, because the practitioner of Bhakti is not on the pure platform, so therefore the Acharyas prescribe some rules and regulations whereby the sadhaka or the devotee also practices some principles of Naimittika Dharma, but not as ends in themselves, but as means to assist him to become pure so that he can practice Sanatana Dharma principles better. It is true that bhakti is independent. At the same time, we use from this material world everything that is available for us to progress in Krishna consciousness better. One of the examples that I gave in this regard is the four regulative principles. Isn't it? At the spontaneous stage of bhakti, the devotee doesn't have to make any conscious effort to follow the four regulative principles. Automatically, the devotee follows. However, when one is not on the platform of spontaneous devotion, there are urges and temptations to break the four regulative principles. And therefore, it is important that the devotee exercises restraint. So therefore, it becomes an important principle in the devotee's life to follow the four regulative principles, although it is not really an integral part of Sanatana Dharma. But we are dovetailing. Any other points? Yes. So we compared Karma Kanda with a Sakama Bhakta of Krishna. What was the conclusion? Who is a Sakama Bhakta of Krishna? What does it mean? A person who is worshipping Krishna with some material desires, understanding that Krishna is the Supreme. So who is superior? The Karma Kandi who is worshipping Krishna or the Sakama Bhakta who is worshipping Krishna? The Sakama Bhakta. Why? Because he knows Krishna is the Supreme. So it's not the purpose alone that is important for our worship. It is also the conception that is important. The object of worship, the purpose of worship, and the conception. These are three things that are very important. Any other points? Yes. Yes, and the verse was quoted, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshaje, which is the principle that gives us from the Bhagavatam what Sanatan Dharma really is. Sanatan Dharma means, to put it simply, love of God. Regardless of what religious faith you belong to, if you have achieved love of God, then you are a follower of Sanatan Dharma. Yes? Among all the Sanatan Dharmas that may be possible, Vaishnavism, and especially the Vaishnavism of Vrindavan, Gaudiya Vaishnavism is even superior. Yes. Okay, so we'll stop here. It's quite late. So thank you very much. Tomorrow we'll continue with the introduction and we will actually read something tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.